So there's no tantric talk. Those teachings will involve not using the constituents of your body. You will not use your wind, your drops, your channels, your chakras. You will not use that. You'll just use strictly meditation, which takes much longer. So therefore, when Maitreya comes, the teachings will be there, and there will be a growing of Buddhism again, but slower form. Why? The people of that time, their karma and their propensity will only allow that amount. It's not Maitreya is not capable of teaching the tantras. Of course he is, but he won't be teaching because of the people. So Buddha Shakyamuni, okay, if I didn't remember wrong, first, third, fourth, and thousand are the only Buddhas who will teach tantra. First, third, the fourth Buddha, and the last Buddha, the thousand, will teach tantra, the highest path. So the last Buddha to appear will be Bodhisattva Vajrayana for this great aeon. He will be the last one to appear. He will teach everything that the 999 Buddhas have taught. At that time, people's lifespan will be longer, will be much longer. People's lifetime changes. So therefore, we're at a very lucky time, Kepsa Sorenji said. His Holiness Kepsa Sorenji said, we're at a very lucky time because we were born during a time a Buddha has appeared. We were born during a time where Buddha has spoken, because some Buddhas appear, they don't speak. We are born at a time where Buddha has appeared, has spoken, and the teachings are still alive and being kept. Alive and being kept means what? Not a repository in computers or books. It means in a mind stream of practitioners. It means there are actually people living with attainments. There are actually people who have attained patience, great compassion, generosity, love, mental stabilization. There are actually people living in the world who are holding on to the teachings not by knowledge, but by actualization or result. Does everybody understand? So, what does that mean? It means that the teachings of the Buddha are alive. This is the meter stick. Listen carefully. The Buddha's teachings are alive not by book, not by explanation, not by knowledgeable people, not by statues and temples, not by having people who can lecture. It is alive, and Buddha's talking that it's alive by way of people who have actualized the teachings, and they're teaching from result, not study. Does everybody understand? So therefore, you have a doctor who's performed surgery for 30 years, and he teaches. You have a doctor who just graduated from medical school and has never had an experience to teach. Which one would be more effective? All right. So the teachings being alive for 5,000 years, the meaning is that. The teaching being alive for 5,000 years, meaning that after Lord Buddha's parinirvana, the teachings will be present for 5,000 years. On the 4,500 to the 5,000, it will start to decline. But up to the 4,500 years, there will still be people who teach and practice Buddhism from realization, from actualization, from attainments. Of course, you'll have people who teach from a scholastic level. They just know the teachings. They just understand, but they don't really actualize it. They don't really live it. Example, if you even ask a great Dharma teacher, a Western Dharma teacher, who is one of these great publishers, you say, okay, now, since you teach the teaching so well, you teach renunciation, you teach the 10 bhumis of a bodhisattva, can you become a monk? They say, no, I have my attachments. So that's not a Dharma holder. That's not a real Dharma holder. A real Dharma holder is one that the teachings have been actualized. And they teach from actualization. They teach from implementation. They teach from resultant knowledge. Does everybody understand? So therefore, a teacher who is very learned, but no offense to anyone, but cannot be a monk, cannot give up their attachments, cannot give up meat, cannot give up smoking, cannot give up drinking, cannot give up all that, they just teach. That's not a Dharma holder. That's a Dharma teacher. Not a Dharma holder. That's not a lineage holder. A lineage holder or a real Dharma teacher is one who has listened, absorbed, practiced, and attained. And from that, they're teaching you. Does everybody understand? So, even after the 5,000 years, there's going to be people teaching Dharma. There will be people teaching, but not from realization. There will be more intellectual pursuits. You know, there are many people who go to study theology or comparative religions in universities and get a degree. They don't believe in God, they don't believe in Buddha, they don't believe in karma, they don't believe in any of it. They study, they get a degree, and they can lecture beautifully. but they don't believe it. Because to them, it's intellectual pursuit, it's a subject, it's a career. Many people graduate from comparative religions. I wanted to take that if I went to the university. Theologians, they don't believe. Many of them don't believe, although they know the Bible better than you. I mean, a Christian. They know the, a Christian dates, history, background. They know everything, but they don't believe. Because to them it's a subject, so Buddhism will become like that. So a person who doesn't practice and who simply speaks, it will have effect, but not, it will not cause the other person to practice. So let's say that I'm a lay person. I eat meat, I drink, I sleep, I do all the actions everybody I'm teaching to do. I'm not different than you, except I know knowledge. When you teach, you only give them knowledge, you will not inspire them to practice. Why will you not inspire them to practice? Because you're teaching from knowledge and they're learning from you from knowledge because all your actions is just like them. Your compassion is the same as theirs. Your lack of compassion is the same as theirs. Your eating habits are the same as theirs. Your sleeping habits are the same as theirs. Your effort is the same as theirs. Everything you do is the same as theirs who you're teaching. So if your effort is the same as theirs, what you're teaching them does help them, but it doesn't confer any blessings. And they, it's very highly unlikely they will practice. But if you're teaching from practice, you actually practice, and you have achieved, and you're teaching from that achievement, then they will be interested in you listening, and they will practice. And your word will have power. Kyabje Sarangji says that's the power of the lineage. So Kyabje Sarangji said specifically during the Lama Tsongkhapa initiations that a person who teaches from practice or a person who speaks from knowledge, one has blessing, one has no blessing. One has a blessing of the lineage lamas, that means this teacher's lama to his lama, to her lama, to his lama, to her lama, to his lama, to her lama, all the lama's blessings will come to this person and hit the audience, and it'll move their mind. It will shame some of the audience, some will make them think deeper, some will make a resolution, some will have regrets, some will rejoice, but they'll have an emotion that is moved in them from the speaker because they practice. Hence, I tell the liaisons, you must be double better than other people. Commit yourself to Dharma all the way. Sha pa bangba, give up meat. Smoking and drinking pa bangba, give up smoking and drinking. As much as you can, whatever you're attached to. Give up this, the biggest thing that the liaisons must give up is this, like, I can't do this, la, it's too much, I'm doing my best. Because it's very, very demoralizing to a new person to hear that you're in Dharma so long and you still can't conquer yourself. So you say, I'm doing my best, I don't have enough time, you know, I gotta pay for my commitments, la, I don't have enough money, you know, Dharma okay, but I don't have time, la. If you always say like that, you're the same as them. And that's the teachings you give to them. Does people understand? So this is not criticizing people. This is a teaching to say to you, go all the way with your Dharma practice because your time is short. What do you have to lose? Nothing. You have nothing to lose. What do you have to gain? Everything. So therefore, if you wish to teach the Dharma, and I'm not talking just teaching in Lamrim class, I'm not talking about just teaching in cage, I'm talking about wherever you go, you affect people's minds. Why do you have to affect people's minds only in this building? Why can't you affect the laundry, the supermarket, the cashier girl? Why can't you affect people in IKEA? Why can't you affect people you meet in the movies? Why can't you affect people you meet at the disco? Why can't you affect people you met on the street? You see, I tested myself. I tested my spirituality. When I was in lay clothes, when I was with my hair, I still brought people to the Dharma. I still brought people to the Dharma and I still affected people wherever I went. But they didn't even know who I was. Example, Paul. When I met Paul, I met him Bukhi Bittang, he doesn't know who I am, he doesn't know what I am. I didn't even tell him. When he found out, he was like, uh-oh. But he's in the Dharma now. Because exterior-wise, I changed. Interior, I'm all the way for Dharma. I'm not trying to tell you I'm accomplished, I'm trying to tell you I'm committed. So people will feel it. People will feel it. So therefore they say, well, Rinpoche is very easy for you. You have a title, you know, you cut your hair, you're wearing robes. So, well, of course, you have that advantage. Yes, I have that advantage. You can too, but you don't want to. But let me throw it back at you. I was in lay clothes for 4 or 5 years. You saw me. I was gorgeous. I look great in my SLK and my Versace suit. Ruby told me when we went to Putrajaya, I was driving behind. She said, "Oh my gosh!" She goes, "Rimchi, no offense, you look great. Any girl would go crazy if they saw you. A very young, eligible bachelor." I said, "Smank you." Yeah. So when I was in Lay Close, I brought people to the Dharma from clubs. I was passing out chakras in clubs. I was passing out protective rice in clubs. I'd be at the podium dancing, and when I was done, I'd meet people, and they would talk, and blah, 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 blah. I said, "Oh, you need to help keep this. My sifu gave me this. It's very powerful." "Really? Yeah. Who's your sifu?" "Oh, September Mchila." "Wow, your sifu is so good. You don't need her." "No, I don't need. I give to you because I get another one. I live very close to my sifu." "How close?" "Very close." Yeah, until I've been in this school giving protective rice, strings, chakras, address cards. I refer them to other Dharma centers because I didn't have a Dharma center. I refer them to other centers. I do. If I was in Singapore, I refer them to the Singapore centers that I knew. If I met foreigners, I refer them to the center I knew was in their country. "How come you know so much?" "Oh, yeah, I've been around." Then of course, I turn around, they say, I said, "I've been around for quite a while." They say, "How old are you?" I said, "How old do you think?" I turn around that because I need to know how young I looked. So they say, "I was 29. I said, "Oh, I'll give you extra chakra." So my point is, what is, if you practice and you gain some sort of experience and result, and when you teach, what, the blessing is powerful. What is a blessing? Let me define. A blessing is when you are the cause for their dharmic imprint to open. And when they listen to the Dharma, the imprint does not open. The blessings of the speaker or the object, such as a holy object, a Buddha statue, will open the imprint. So when that imprint opens, the teachings go in, they want to commit and practice. That is called a blessing. People always think, "Why do I put my head to a Buddha statue? Why do I prostrate, etc.? Why do I go to a lama offer a kata?" Because a lama's kata is infused with blessings. And when it's put on you, it's meant to open up seeds or plant more. Why do lamas take their malas and put it on your head? Because the mala is a receptacle of many, many hundreds of thousands of mantras meditated on with compassion or bodhicitta. So when they put it on your head, it's hoped to open up something in you to make you. So therefore, that's why we practice, that's why we prostrate. Why do we show respect to the Lama? Let me tell you why. We show great respect, we put a nice seat, we stand up when he comes, we talk pleasantly, we talk with our mouth closed, and we say his name with deference, like His Eminence. Why do we do that? Because when we keep doing that, we create a link and a karma with his so-called attainments. And so one day, when we keep doing that, while we're serving, while we're cleaning, a realization or a blessing can open. So when you always hang around the Lama and serve and clean and cook and wash and dry and do these things, if the Lama is attained, you will collect a great amount of merit directly. When you collect this merit, when you keep doing it, when the Lama gives you a teaching, it will click open. Why? If the Lama and the service that you've done created the merits, and the action of serving the Lama creates the doorway or the portal to open up the blessing for you to do something. Hence, we serve the Lama every day, every week, every year. We serve him with great, whether we sponsor him, whether we wash him, whether we clean him, whether we do medical, whether we offer things to him, whether we show respect, whether we offer our mind, our commitment, our time. All that is designed for you to collect. That's why people who serve the Lama complain, "Oh, religion's like that, it's difficult, or boss is like that, like this." It's very bad karma. People who refer to Lama as the boss, the boss, the boss, they actually go away after a while. Because why? The demerit is very heavy. The demerit is very, very heavy. And people who stay away from the Lama, "Oh, I'm not ready to be trained." The minute you say you're not ready, that's when you're ready. Why is it that when you're not ready, you're ready? Because when you say you're not ready, you open up the opposite of blessings, always not be ready. Always. So therefore, if you're with an attained Lama, there's that benefit. If you're with an ordinary Lama, but you think he's attained, and he holds his vows, and he does do his job, you will still get the blessing by the power of your faith. Because the lineage Lama's blessings will come through your Lama. So if your Lama's ordinary like myself, you will still get the same results due to your faith. Because the Lama becomes a portal. Example, the statues is a portal. The Lama is a portal. The Dharma book is important. So therefore, if we practice and we teach from the attainments, If we tell people it's difficult, I can't give up, I can't give this up, it's difficult, then what we talk is just words. And in fact, the merit we collect from teaching is very little. Why is it very little? It's intellectual. It's intellectual. Then what difference is it that you talk about the Dharma, or you talk about physics, or you talk about biology? There's not much difference really, because it just becomes a subject. Hence, when I tell my liaisons and I tell people, practice, control, hold your vows, and I tell you to be better than the person you're teaching, I'm giving you the way to use your life in such a beneficial way. I'm giving you the method. As I say, don't be bitchy. Talk more nicer than them. If you're bitchy 50 times a week, become 25. And work on it to become 20, 15. Less and less. Why? You have to be better than who you are helping and teaching. Teaching isn't just verbally sitting here in Lamrim. Teaching can be you doing Dharma work, walking back and forth, and people will observe you. Because why are you coming? Why are you talking? Why are you moving around? You're moving around from Rinpoche. You're talking for Rinpoche. You're talking for KH. So the environment may not be Dharma, but it still is Dharma. And people will watch. Therefore, ordinary beings like us can confer the blessings of our guru. Ordinary beings like us can confer the blessings of our protector if we teach from attainments. Therefore, to practice what you preach is very important.